Episode 223, December 14th, 2015.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
If you listened to the last 10 minutes of last week's episode, you might think we wouldn't have all three people here tonight. But Joe, Robbie, you're both back on the show.
I mean, I'm on the show.
I'm here.
I think that episode, it got the most feedback we've ever gotten. If you didn't listen to last week's episode, what was the number, Robbie?
222.
222.
Oh, it was?
222. A lot of feedback. The epic on-air knockdown drag out real life argument between the two brothers, Joe and Robbie. I know you guys hated it. Maybe Robbie, you probably loved it. But Joe, you haven't listened to the episode.
No, I won't listen to that.
I'm not
Robbie.
I'm not listening back to it, but I think it was good. It was a good episode.
I listened to it three times. I tried to get Tawanda to listen to it. She goes, no, I like those two. I don't want them. I don't want to hear it. Now, when I said to her that Robbie said, don't you dare defend Joe, Rob. That part she wanted to hear because it was me getting yelled at.
It is funny because when people commented to me about it, most of the comments were about that.
Yeah.
To have an opinion and you got shot down quick.
Well, on the chat, we have Team Robbie and Team Robbie's a dick. Gramps didn't like it. But I want to read our friend Mike Payne, who, a great comic that I started with, who's been on JL's show a bunch of times. He shared it on Facebook saying, if you have a brother, this will totally, you'll totally relate to that. Some Facebook stuff. Santiago Ochoa says, I was listening on my drive home. I'm driving, and as soon as I took my exit, it was like, what the F? That was an impassioned disagreement argument like that, like a car wreck. I couldn't pull myself away. Wow, no sides taken. Great show. David De Sattel says, just listened to the show and loved it. I so want to be invited to the Christmas dinner. Have you two made up? Have you talked since?
Yeah, we talked a bunch.
Now, the conversation immediately after the fight, did you have one that night?
Robbie and I have never. Here's the deal. At the end of it, even on there, I'm like, I love my brother, blah, blah, blah. Robbie, nothing. He just, you know, he's gone. He doesn't. It's the end of it, right? But, you know, he's texted me about something that was on the radio that he wanted me to hear. And I texted back and he sent me. So it's just, you know, it's business as usual. I mean, that's not, I don't really feel like anything needs to be resolved. Do you, Robbie?
No. And as I said at the very end, I said I'd never required an apology from my brother.
Good, because you're not fucking getting one. No, I'm just kidding.
So you two haven't spoken about that since?
No, I don't think that we would. I mean, we might now because we're talking about it, but Rob, we probably would never have addressed it again, right?
No, we wouldn't have addressed it unless it was for the show.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, because there's really nothing to resolve, I don't think. If there was something that we needed to, like, say, all right, we have to find some common ground or some agreement in some place, we would do that. But there's really nothing to do.
Well, it didn't end with either one of you backing down.
No.
It wasn't like one of you said, okay, well, you know, I see your side, and you said, I see your side. It was, you both, you know, held fast to your position.
Restivo, five-star buffet in chat, says, is Robbie giving Joe a calendar for Christmas with red circles around the Mondays?
That's pretty funny. But I think that now I'm not, I grew up an only child and my mom got remarried and then the kids came into this situation. But I don't have like a background with fighting with siblings. Is that, it seemed to resonate with people that happens. But is that like a huge fight for you or is that something?
Yeah, that's a pretty big fight. I mean, Robbie and I, we probably had maybe two or three of those in the last 20 years, right, Robbie? Maybe. Yeah, not even that. And we work together a lot, Robbie and I. But listen, Robbie got what he wants out of this, right? I mean, obviously, you know, I have to be like hyper alert, right? Because then he's right that I don't care, right? That I'm selfish right. or whatever. So I have to be hyper alert. But in addition to that, like I have this bit that I wanted to do for Coco Lane. And it would involve like putting together like a slideshow. And I only have one person that could do that, so I just had to abort it because I can't go to Robbie. You know what I mean? Right. I can't go to right now, no matter how funny it is, and ask him to do any of that stuff. So he's the winner of the argument because his life is going to get easier.
I think the audience was the true winners. Now, people did really like it because it was, you know, a lot of times, like we'll talk before the show and we'll have an idea of what's going to happen. And I'll maybe throw something to Robbie knowing he has a thought or opinion on this. But when I said to you during the show and I said, hey, do you have any thoughts on last week's show? Because you weren't there. I had no idea that you had any. I mean, I knew you had thoughts, but I didn't know what they were. I had no idea
you
that was
had planned that. When Robbie said, don't defend him, I literally thought that he said, yeah, I'll talk about it, but I don't want you jumping on his side. I thought that was discussed based on the way Robbie said that. So if all that stuff came out organically, that means neither me nor Robbie knew that that was going to happen.
I didn't know it was going to happen. I didn't even know what Robbie meant when he said, you told me you wouldn't defend Joe. I didn't even know what you were referencing.
You going to tell Robbie?
I said, you said you wouldn't defend Joe.
I thought that's what you said. Maybe you said something different. I thought that's what you said.
No, I just said I didn't want him to put in if he was going to take your side.
Because I didn't listen back, so I didn't remember.
I remember hearing, thinking that you had said that you had implied that we had talked and I had said that I wasn't going to defend you.
It may have sounded like that, but I wasn't.
Okay.
So well, that is the thing that gave me the impression that you guys had already discussed.
No, I had no idea that was going to happen.
I wasn't referencing a previous conversation at all.
Graham said in chat, Rob is trying to stir it up again. I don't think that you are you, Rob?
No, we can't have that fight.
You can't have an argument every week.
Back and not talk about it.
Let me tell you why that's never going to happen again, okay? Because the loser in this was Gramps. He was stressed out for a week about
this. Yeah, screw Gramps. Suck it up. Just wow. kidding.
Did you call Gramps?
He called me.
Okay.
He didn't call me. Why did he call me?
I guess he thought Joe won the argument. Take the loser's side. He needs my encouragement.
That's so funny. He didn't call me.
Why don't we have your sister listen and give her opinion?
Which one? I got two sisters.
Oh, yeah. Whichever one you think. Well, we only need, well, I don't know. We need an odd number is what I'm saying.
No, I don't think we should.
Yeah,
let's. Here's why. Mac went on to and posted it on Facebook. Mac Berkson, super fan.
Miggity Mac.
He took Robbie's side. I know Robbie loves that. So I'm going to let that go. You know what I mean? Let him have that because I can't, just like with you trying to intercede, if you have too many people taking my side, he's not going to sit well with Robbie. I'm much better at taking other people, people taking Robbie's side than he's going to be with people taking my side.
Well, but Mac also took a shot at me today a little bit. So
what was that?
he said what we like about Robbie is that he always insists he's right in the face of all evidence to the contrary.
Let's see. What was the one big argument that we had about with Rob? Oh, I know what it was. It was the Grant a Wish Foundation.
Yes.
Which I won't readdress, but that was another time Robbie got pissed off.
Go back and listen to every episode. You'll find it. The other thing that happened last week, we had the Chris Restivo voicemail and bashing Joe. And we took it to a vote on Twitter, at Rob and Joe Show. Should we allow Chris Restivo to come back on the show and give his side? And 67% of you said no. And therefore, the vote stands. No, it is. But
it's a fucking douchebag.
There's a compromise. And Eric the Actor, give him credit for this. He did two amazing things. He transcribed your rant, Joe, which you're going to call it the rant from now on.
The rant with Rob, then when I was defending yelling myself at Rob, to Robbie,
you
had right?
One really long thing towards the end where you just let it all out. It's about a minute long, and it was powerful. And you could tell it was as real as it gets. It's awesome. That's why I wish you'd listen, because you'd be proud of yourself.
No.
But Eric the Actor transcribed it, and the idea to have Restivo come on and read it, I think, is a great idea.
Well, that would make sense.
Have a contest and have multiple people give their rendition of
it. Like a dramatic read, yes. And then whoever does it best wins?
Yeah.
All right, I'm on board for that, but not if Chris is going to do one of his impressions. If he reads it as Chris Restivo, then yes.
So you would rather he reads it as Chris Restivo than as, say, Robert De Niro or Tracy Morgan or Gilbert Gottfried?
He can only do it as the tennis ball.
No, I want him to do it as Chris. He'd love to do it as the tennis ball.
Why don't he reenact that entire argument? And Robbie, you'll be the tennis ball, and Joe, he'll be.
Listen, I've given this a great deal of thought, and I really don't want Chris Restivo on the show.
Well, you're just going to be recording him, or we call him.
No, he has his own recording equipment. We'll take his recordings all day. I just don't want him to participate.
Oh, I see. That makes sense. So tell Chris to record it.
Yes.
Give him the transcript. Have him record it and send it directly to Robbie and tell him to message Robbie as often as he wants.
All right. Can we accept other ones, Robbie?
Well, yeah, sure. I have no problem with that.
Okay. Is there an email people can reach out to, or should they just Facebook?
It's right on the website. They can get robinjoe.com.
Okay.
You didn't ask, but let me just say this, that Christopher Walken reading lyrics to songs like Wrecking Ball is a lot funnier than hearing the actual song. So Chris Restivo doesn't need to read his own shit.
No, it's not Chris's stuff. It's my rant Chris is going to read.
Fucking, I don't want to hear him anyway.
Marcus, last week, that was a rough show for you because it involved Restivo. And the argument, you got uncomfortable, I could tell.
I was very uncomfortable, and I don't know if you guys listened to this week's Omericast. I mean, I brought it up because
I haven't listened to it, but I plan on.
No, if it plays the thing, I won't listen.
Yeah, I definitely can't listen.
Then don't listen, Joe, because I have to play it because it was probably the biggest thing on the show, but at the same time, I was extremely uncomfortable because for the same reason that Rob was. Rob, you know, you get shut down and you don't know, like, what happened? Why was I being shut out? Did I miss something? And at one point during the conversation, Robbie throws out my name to pull me in as an ally. And I'm like, hold on. I have nothing to do with this. I am not a part of this conversation.
You know what would have happened if you would have said anything, Marcus?
Oh, I would have been yelled at.
Yeah. I would have said, don't you involve yourself.
Don't you dare take Robbie.
Don't you dare say a word.
Well, one thing I do want to say, and this maybe didn't sound like it last week, but we actually do like each other, and we do like doing the show. We love the show. It's just some of the little behind-the-scenes stuff that can be stressful, but that's with any job or anything, any endeavor. But we do love doing this show, and we do love to come on here every week and bullshit and talk about whatever. So it didn't sound like it last week, but we do.
Is that true of Robbie? I mean, let me ask bluntly, because I said it on Omericast, and listening to last week and listening to it again, I'll honestly ask. I mean, based on Robbie's comments, it didn't sound like Robbie enjoyed doing this show nearly as much as you two guys.
I enjoy it most of the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's reasonable. Yeah, I mean, who enjoys something all the time?
I like sex.
Every time?
Every time.
I bet your wife doesn't.
Doesn't matter.
Well, that's our situation. Doesn't matter. You walked into that one, Marcus.
No, I know. It's okay.
We do enjoy the show most of the time. And we do, look, we don't argue that often. It's just when we do, the things that bother us, we talk about it because that's more interesting than talking about, hey, I had a conversation with Robbie and it went smoothly. That's boring. So why would we bring that up? So obviously we're going to highlight the drama because that's more interesting. But all is well in the Rob and Joe universe. Big week for us this past week. Big couple weeks here to end the year. We had our first our debut of a Merry Murder Mystery. It was at the Arlington Draft House this past Wednesday night.
Members of the Rob and Joe show except Marcus were involved.
Marcus was involved.
Marcus did one of the voices.
Yeah, Marcus has a little procedural thing that he does. His audio. But it was the biggest crowd we've had there. And the other two, we did it on a Friday. This was on a Wednesday, so that was good. And it was our best audience in terms of just their energy and their being into it. And it was our best performance that we've done at the Draft House. So 3 for 3.
Yeah, it was really, really, really good. The biggest takeaway for me in terms of what we need to do differently was we made a mess of the stage. Thank God. I don't want to be too specific, but when I prepared whatever it was that was going to create that death, it didn't occur to me that it would be on the stage.
Yes.
And not only was it all over the stage, but it also ruined your, ruined the t-shirt that you were wearing under the sweater. I'm pretty sure it ruined, did it ruin those jeans?
Actually, it all came out. It didn't ruin anything.
Really? Because...
Yeah.
I had a pair of tan pants. I never even bothered to do anything with them. I just assumed they were ruined.
It might have ruined my shoes, but that I think I can clean those too. But no, I put them in the wash when I got home and it all came out. And the thing was, as I was driving home, I look up and I realize that I still have blood on my face. Fake blood. And then I'd taken off the dirty clothes and put some other stuff on. But I have like on the floor what appears to be a bloody shirt and sweater. So I'm thinking if I get pulled over, I mean, that's going to be a weird conversation.
Yeah, it would be weird, but you could just, it's pretty easy to explain.
Well, it's so weird that but I would have to explain it, but it's so bizarre that it would be believed. I mean, it's got online, the website, you can see that the show, but it would be an interesting conversation. One that
It'd be funnier if you just said nothing.
Yeah, what?
Excuse me, sir. Have you been drinking tonight?
You know what was weird? I didn't realize this until you told me a couple days later, but I guess you went out afterwards and did karaoke with, you know, basically other cast members and fans.
Yeah,
and
you just bailed for some reason. Yeah, we hung out. I mean, I didn't do karaoke, but Justin Schlegel did and RJ Jackson and John Yeager. It was good, but we had a lot of... network people there, Sam and Kathy Rem. I believe they've been to all three shows there at the Draft House.
Yeah, and they said this was the best one.
And they brought a bunch of people. That was cool. Jeff Hancock and wife was there. He's been in every one. We met, how about this? We met a super fan, a real life super fan. There, when you first walk in, before you walk into the showroom, they have like a ticketing area. And I walk around the corner there because I want to see, you know, how many people are in line because the show is starting in about 15 minutes. I want to see if we still have people filing in. And I turn the corner and the guy's right at the front and he says, he looks at me, he goes, oh, what? Oh, my God. And I'm like, is this a joke? That's in my mind. I'm saying that. He's like, you're Rob? I'm like, yeah. He goes, oh, man, this is so exciting to meet you. And I'm thinking, this is bullshit, right? His wife's there, shakes my hand. I'm like looking around. People, are people seeing this? Because I look really cool.
Punked, right?
Yeah. And his guy's name was Vince. He said, oh, I love the show. I said, hope you didn't listen this week. But so I heard you guys on Mike O'Mara. You've been a fan ever since. Anyway, he ends up having all three of us sign the back of his iPhone. Not the case, the actual iPhone itself. Which I'd never seen that before. So this guy Vince has an iPhone on the back of it. Joe Robinson, Rob Robinson, and Rob Mayer signatures.
Yeah, I got the middle. I thought that was a good spot.
Yeah. So a shout out to Vince for being a super cool, lovely wife. They had a good time. Hope so.
I think everybody had a good time. Yes. Everything kind of happened the way that I thought. Obviously, there's a song and something else near the end, and the energy that was kind of generated from that was a lot more than I thought it was going to be. There's a song a little bit earlier that I expect a little bit better response from, but I think that we're going to fix a little bit of the audio. But I mean, it was an A. I mean, people left just thrilled. Yeah. It was just hysterical, nonstop laughs all the way through. And again, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, I know we build this thing up. And then you're like, I wonder if this is really as funny as they say that it is, blah, blah, blah. Because, you know, it's a product we're selling. Mm-hmm. Just ask people who've seen it. That's all. I mean, they're going to obviously tell the truth. Yeah, there's some people that come to every single show. They never miss a new performance. And there's a reason for that. It's so funny. Oh, and we said this last week, but we have Rob Spiewak on. We're going to be at the DC Improv January 7th. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have Rob Spiewak and also Danny Rouillet from 106.7 The Fan in that show.
And yeah, that'll be The Last Laugh was the name of that one. It's the first one we ever did. Two more times this month, this Saturday the 19th at the Boomy Shriners Temple up north of Baltimore. And the 26th, that's again Saturday at Magoobies for a Merry Murder Mystery. So get on it, folks.
We have 7 murder mysteries on the books between now and the end of February.
Yeah, we just added a new venue, Winchester, Virginia, the Alamo Draft House. That'll be on February 20th. And then we've got...
We're pretty close to adding one in Easton, Maryland.
Yeah, it's definitely growing up. We're gonna be huge. And we've got potentially a new cast member for this singing karaoke theme show. A woman that I met through Tommy Davidson. She was a rapper back in the day named Soleil. She married Genuine, the R&B singer. And now she just does like martial arts and yoga and is a very attractive woman. And she wants to be in the singing thing. So there we go. We'll add some attractive females.
Can I complain about you for a second, Rob?
Yeah, sure.
So this karaoke, by the way, these things are hard to write and produce.
Okay.
There's a ton, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to the audience, obviously you know. To write them, to get all the props. I mean, for this holiday one, there's like 40 props. I mean, there's just an immense amount of work that needs to be done. Rob called me, was it yesterday? It was the day before yesterday, right?
I think it was Saturday.
It was Saturday, right? And he goes, hey, we got a chance to do, they're giving us a date to do this karaoke one in February at the Arlington Draft House. I said, what? He said, yeah, we can do this date, this date. I go, well, it's not written. I'm like, you want to book it already for another one? I thought my hair's going to fall out.
Okay.
So I had to veto that.
But when we were talking about the Christmas one, I had the idea. We hadn't written it. We hadn't done anything.
No, I know. And I know. I don't want to live that. I don't want to live that again.
But I'm saying we booked 3 shows because of that. So
no, you're absolutely right. You're right. And at the end of the day, it probably was worth the stress. But I would feel a lot more comfortable having them written before we book them. And if we write it in January and we have all those shows in February, we can pretty easily book March, right?
Yeah, we'll do it in March. But look, I like the deadline. It makes us better to that.
But when we do these videos and these, you know, that's something that you don't know until the product is complete. And so, but if we book these in March, I'd be comfortable.
Well, that's the plan. March is the plan. I'm on it, Joe. Don't worry. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk. A fan, Charlie Burney, is taking issue with the show. You might like this, Robbie. Rob and Joe show. Be right back.
Hi, this is Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show, and I'm here to tell you about the most hysterical, amazing, and festive show I've ever had the privilege to be a part of. It's called A Merry Murder Mystery, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the guys who brought you The Last Laugh and The Newly Dead Game. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. There's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, December 19th at the Boomy Temple Shrine Center Ballroom in Baltimore. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit facebook.com/Die Laughing Productions or robinjoe.com.
back to the Robin Joe Show.
I've heard this complaint before, but Charlie, he's the guy that would book us for the Drafts and Laughs, the show that we did in Annapolis for like 3 years until they fired us. But he's a super cool guy. I've met him a few times. And a big Mike O'Mara fan as well. He's been on your show, correct, Marcus? He was on Americast.
Yeah, he was a guest a couple of months ago.
Right. Awesome, dude. He calls me today. Rarely does he call me. I answer, which I rarely do when someone calls. And he wanted to just say hi, but he also had one complaint about the show. And that's, and I've heard this before, the piano outro music.
What's his problem with it?
He feels like that it doesn't sound good and it doesn't fit who we are and what we've just done.
I don't know. It definitely sounds like a conclusion. Maybe it's because I'm used to it, but I never listened to it and thought that it was out of place. It sounds like the end of a show, right?
I've heard a lot of people complain about it. It's never.
You've heard a lot?
Well, when people make a point to say that, when I've heard four or five people say that, to me, that's a lot. Because usually
you've had five people say that to you?
Yeah.
I've had zero.
Okay. Well, I mean, Marcus?
What would you prefer? For me personally, I've never really taken much consideration of it. It's what you guys wanted. So I just roll with it because it's what you wanted. But what are you looking for? You want some Metallica, Anthrax?
No,
it's got to be something that winds down, right?
I actually like it.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, you know, unassuming in the background, and it's supposed to be, you know, feel like a conclusion to something kind of solemn. That was why that music was chosen. Also, the music is free, right. You know, so
I think people, I believe they have elevator music. I've heard that term for
yes. It's kind of a cheesy piano piece. Yes.
Well, can we get a real piano piece that's not cheesy and just make it under 30 seconds so we don't have to pay for it?
I have number of pieces that we can actually use.
All right. Well, why don't you on this show, Marcus, add a different piece and we'll see how people respond to it.
Marcus did use a different piece a few weeks ago.
Oh, he did? I didn't.
Oh, he put the Taiwan song at the end of it.
Oh, yeah.
You mean
why
this?
Why don't you just use that instead? People probably like that.
Well, I'll put it to a vote again on Twitter, at Robin Joe Show. Fan or not a fan of the closing piano piece? Hey, oh, by the way, we talked about this a lot a couple weeks ago. My dancing ability and how it's the worst ever, and how even though I said I sucked, you still go out of the way to tell people that I'm awful at it, show them the video.
And sorry, it's too funny.
Okay, well, this is where you talk about how I did well at the fucking show because people were talking about that. They're like, we listened, we can't wait to see the dance. They're all staring at me because we talked about it. So this is
well,
where
let
you
me say, when I watch the dance number, when I watch it, I only watch you. But I realize that the audience isn't watching you. They're probably watching, I can't say who they're probably watching, but they're probably watching the most fantastical of all the people that are up there dancing. Agreed?
I am, of the four or five that are dancing, I'm the fourth or fifth one that they would likely be looking at.
Yeah, I actually think you're fifth.
Well, because I'm on the end, that might.
You're on the end, but also I think about the other characters are way over the top characters. You're more of a straight man in this one, and so.
But I am
think,
next to Justin, who's the star. So.
Yeah. You're right, but obviously there's somebody that they're watching that's on the other opposite end of you, which I believe is the person they're watching the most. But either way, I watch you, and there's one move that we do. I think it's the second move that we do where you put your arm out around the arm of the other person. I mean, around the shoulder of the other person. And then you take your other arm on the next beat and put it under the arm of the other person on their shoulder. And I always worried about that move, but I watch it. And you did this other thing where you put your hand down to your side. And I was like, that's pretty clever because you're on the end. There's nobody for you to put their your arm around. But then I was told somebody gave that to you, which I didn't talk to him about that as well. But
our friend Dustin, his idea.
And I watched you and you pretty much nailed it. Your kicks are still a little, I mean, they're not an A, but still,
of course not.
Yeah, you were completely on. What you need to be is on beat, and you have to hit the when you start your step, it has to be when everybody starts their step. Right. And you did that.
Got to be in sync. Yeah.
How much practice? How many times did you practice?
Oh, for like an hour.
That's a long time.
Yeah, I mean, not in a row, but not all in one day, because I get frustrated and quit. But Robbie, I mean, do you want to give me some dap for my dancing?
To me, no offense, Rob. To me, it looked basically the same as every other time I saw you.
not in the video rehearsal where I'm way
off. No. That of course, that's the, that
what I'm comparing to.
That's all I have is the video.
I never thought Rob was horrible.
What? What do you mean? You want me to send you the video?
No, I know the video. I'm familiar with the video. That was definitely his worst performance of it.
Well, no, but also Rob's acting like I go out of my way to embarrass him, which I do. Yeah. But I also, Rob and I also, we were just at a party together recently, which I guess we'll talk about. But Rob and I, we normally spend most of our time kind of building each other up, right? But yeah, I mean, if something is that hilarious, yes, I'm going to point attention to it. Now, if I thought it really bothered Rob, I wouldn't say it.
No, it cracks me up.
But because it's so hilarious, yeah, and then I definitely point it out.
We did go to a party. We went to our friend Jen's house, a big fan of the murder mystery, a fellow comedian, booker of the Bethesda Hyatt, co-booker, I guess. And we played, what's that game called? Cards Against Humanity. And we were there it was me and Tawanda, Joe and Katie, Jen and her husband, Barry, and then three other couples that we didn't know.
Before we start, can I say that my girlfriend loves Cards Against Humanity?
She does.
She loves it like Bobby Fischer loved chess. And she actually, but when we were just getting ready to go over, she was sitting on the floor playing Cards Against Humanity with herself, which like is preparing for the game later. I took a picture of it and I sent it to everybody.
If you've never played the game, it's the concept is there's one card, a black card that you read, and then everyone has 10 cards that they have of their own, which they're trying to match what will be the funniest answer. Like, for example, extreme baseball is like regular baseball, but with blank. And then you have 10 cards, and some will make no sense, like Barack Obama, that wouldn't be funny. And then some will have like, you know, a midget with AIDS or something. It'll have all kinds of dark, ridiculous things. And then you put in what you think is funniest, and then that person guesses or picks the card that they think makes it the funniest. And then if you get it right, you win that particular round. It's just a silly, stupid game, but it's fun. But I had a conversation with Joe because when we go somewhere and don't know them, I mean, I'm guessing that most of the time, Joe, you're not going to like the people.
I'm probably not going to like most of the people that I meet. That's true.
Right. So
that come across bad? I guess it does. I don't really want that out there. But yeah, I mean, if you're like finger gunning and you're cheesy and, you know, I mean, especially when people find out that you're a comedian and then they become this other person, you know, that you're right. I'm not a huge fan of that. And that's most of the time what we deal with.
But I will say, when we show up with Katie and Tawanda, we look a lot more successful in our comedy careers than we are.
Yeah, you know, you're right. When we show up with tens, you're right.
They're like, these guys have to be amazing. I got to go see this murder mystery. But we've had this conversation before about Cards Against Humanity, and this does actually bother me because you and I have a similar sense of humor. We laugh at pretty much the same things. And this game has to do with you believing you have the funniest choice, and then that person who's reading it is turning it aside. They have to agree, and they don't know whose card is who. And you always, and you and Katie were on the same team this time, you always dismiss the one I love the most.
I do, because what's funny to me is Rob, no matter what his card is, it can be the worst card in the whole thing. He'd be like, what are you talking about? Mayor McCheese, how can that not win? No matter what he puts down, he believes that it's the best. It's the best answer. We tend to go, Katie and I tend to go a little raunchier, right? But the reason that we think that those are the good answers is because those are usually the answers that get picked. I don't necessarily think that mine are the funniest because you can only play what the cards that are in your hand.
Right.
I'm never really concerned with what's funny because the truth is I never laugh at any of them, do you?
I laugh at some of them.
For, I mean, I don't really genuinely laugh out loud at anything that I hear in that game. But I always think, all right, well, this is the worst. This is the raunchiest, whatever. This is the most, you know, racist. This is the most sexist, whatever. And that's usually what I believe should be the winning card. It's almost like if you have something that's really horrible, I save that card. You know, you don't want to, you want to risk it. You have a guaranteed winner in your hand. You want to make sure you use it properly, well, correct?
Yes, but I don't think that mine is the best all the time. I don't think that at all. Half the time, I'm just throwing it away because I know this is not good. Let's just get rid of this bad card. But when I have something that I think is really good, it's not that it has to win, but when it's immediately dismissed, and I'll give the perfect example. The question was, you're at a romantic dinner for two, and then the perfect, and what's the perfect thing? What's the thing to make this perfect or something like that, right?
It was three things. It was like candlelight, this, that, and the other, and then you said the Kool-Aid man. Well, is that what you're talking about?
Yes. And I had this Kool-Aid man was one of my cards. It was there for an hour. I never played it. And I used that because here I am imagining you're at a nice dinner and you're like, babe, you know, it would make this even more romantic. And then the Kool-Aid man flies through a friggin' smash through the wall. And then you're drinking Kool-Aid. He just stands there.
Well, yeah, no, yes. If you, as you animate it for the audience, that's yes.
Well, that's when I say that. The Kool-Aid man, that's what I'm expecting to go through your mind. No, you two read it, dismiss it immediately, and then pick stray pubic hair as the winner.
Well, remember, that wasn't our card. We weren't the ones deciding. Somebody else did. And then you got upset because you thought the Kool-Aid man should have won. When obviously stray pubic hair, it's funnier, and that's also what we were talking about, it being raunchier. But by the way, that's testament to what I'm saying in that these other people looked at it. The Kool-Aid man isn't raunchy. He's adorable. But what they're looking for usually in an answer is something that, again, is almost over the top and extreme, raunchy, racist, sexist, whatever.
No, it was your turn to decide, and you guys picked the stray pubic hair as a funnier answer than the Kool-Aid man.
Well, no, we didn't pick it.
Yeah, you did.
We just agreed.
No, it was your turn to pick the winner. You picked stray pubic hair.
No, no, no. We didn't. The Katie's in chat. We did not. That was Julie and her husband.
No, I'm 100% positive.
All right. Well, whatever Katie says, I'll believe. If we were the ones that chose the we were the ones that dismissed the Kool-Aid man, which I would have. I'm not defending that, but I'm pretty sure that wasn't us.
I'm 100% sure it was you.
Right, well, I'm waiting for her in chat. But anyway,
I was the most sober one, so I would know that.
So if she agrees with me, then she was not sober. Is that what you're saying?
You saw how she was acting that night? Do you want to really go there?
Okay, so Katie just said we chose.
Okay, thank you very much. All right. So this is the question I have for you, Robbie and Marcus. Which is a funnier answer? A stray pubic hair or the Kool-Aid man?
Kool-Aid man is lame.
Yeah, I agree. Stray pubic hair is much funnier.
Wow. See, it bothers me because it blows my mind.
The funny part is in your head, Rob. The words on the page are what really matter in that game.
Well, no. When you read something, then an image goes into your head. That's how
you don't want to have to go that far with that game.
Well, what do you, when you hear pubic hair, you don't imagine a pubic hair sitting on the table?
No, the words pubic hair are funnier than the words Kool-Aid man. That's really as far as you have to analyze it with that game.
Well, then it doesn't matter what the question is. Then. The question, what's 3 + 3?
Kool-Aid man.
Straight pubic hair.
Well, but that's
6 straight pubic hairs.
Okay, I mean, you're right. Just the words stray pubic hair is funnier than the Kool-Aid man.
Yeah, you really can't analyze it that deeply with that game.
Listen, but I know we know how to play that game.
Well, now, you guys did come in last, so.
We did come in last, that's true, but we know how it's played.
No, obviously I play it wrong because I didn't know that people didn't think about this answer, what it meant.
Well, people do think about the answer.
the idea behind
when you look at all these cards and it's that, you know, the tears of cancer kids or whatever the hell's on these cards, the worst things you can think of. Obviously, the idea is like, what's the most over the top, ridiculous? I mean, that's really it. I mean, you're not really crafting a joke.
Yeah. Well, the funniest one of the night that we had got right was a special episode of Hannah Montana gets really awkward when Hannah, and the answer that we chose was, told a poorly timed Holocaust joke.
Right.
So to me, that's funny because I'm imagining Hannah Montana in the middle of some stupid episode telling a Holocaust joke. And it won. But you're saying stray pubic hair is funnier?
It's funnier than the Kool-Aid Man.
It also beats the Holocaust, I think.
I disagree. I'm going to stand by what I said. Kool-Aid Man.
The whole World War II could have been averted with a stray pubic hair.
Shocker, Eric the actor saying, I'm on the side of the next segment. He says, can Joe go off again?
Hey, I'm going to take one issue with Eric the actor last week. He shit on my spam segment. What's Eric the actor's favorite joke to make about me?
About you being not having a job or being poor?
Yes. The only reason I told that was to make a joke at my expense that I make so little money that my spam is, wow, you could make $300.
But you also got to remember that
joke. And he's like, nope, don't like it.
More than he likes, I take it back. More than he likes making fun of you because you're poor, which you're not. But more than he likes that, he likes shitting on a show that he listens to every week and loves. He also loves that.
No, that's true. He does.
So any shot he can take at a break that we're doing, he loves it.
Yes. And look, it wasn't the highlight of the show last week by any means. I'm not trying to say that it was. But I did purposely say that thinking the Eric the actor would like that. So I guess I was wrong about that. And the Kool-Aid Man. I'm just striking out left and right here. Let's take a break. We'll come back. And Howard Stern in the news, Robbie, your hero. Robin Josh, I'll be right back.
FamousSmoke.com, the world's premier cigar site, wants to know, what are you going to do with your $10 cash back reward that we're going to give you just for buying your favorite cigars? Bobby from Houston writes,
we got one of them swear jars in the office. You know, every time you let out a swear, you got to throw in a quarter. I figure my free $10 ought to hold me over through lunch. Ain't that stupid swear jar.
So how can you get your free cash back reward? Well, it couldn't be easier. Just go to FamousSmoke.com, and when you place an order for $100 or more, we're going to give you $10 cash back at checkout. That's right. You get $10 as your reward from FamousSmoke.com, along with some super tasty cigars. So what are you going to do with your $10 cash back reward? While you're deciding, head over to FamousSmoke.com and click the comedy button to claim your free $10 cash back on us. FamousSmoke.com. That's FamousSmoke.com.
And now back to the Robin Joe Show.
I guess in your Mount Rushmore of people that you worship, Letterman, Stern, is there any others, Robbie?
Stern's one. I'm going to tell you that right now. Stern is number one.
Those two are up there. Alfred Hitchcock is among my favorite people of all time.
Those are good answers.
Yeah, but Stern is a contemporary, Robbie. You like Stern more than Hitchcock, right?
Right.
In the pantheon of creative great things, Hitchcock has contributed probably more to our, you know, modern sensibilities than even Stern has.
Fair enough. But right now, you have a choice of, you can bring Alfred Hitchcock back to life, but Howard Stern stops creating altogether. What do you take?
Hitchcock in his prime?
No, you got him right in, I don't know.
Yes, his prime.
Yeah, oh, sure.
Hitchcock in his prime, I'm going to take that.
Okay. So Stern stops today.
Yes.
And Hitchcock makes The Birds too. You want that.
It's not one of his great movies.
But Stern has given you more pleasure in your life.
Of course he has. I mean, the content is a 1,000 to 1.
Yes. Day to day, no question about it. I've gotten more entertainment.
I think you would reconsider when Hitchcock put out a movie once every 3 years. Right. I think you'd reconsider.
See, you're looking at it the wrong way. I hear Stern all the time. I'm taking Stern for granted now, but I haven't seen a new great Hitchcock movie, you know.
Yeah, it's sort of an unfair question. Yeah. But the point is, Stern's a legend. You've already lost Letterman.
Better question is if I could have Letterman back.
You wouldn't take Letterman over Stern.
I'd not take Letterman back to and lose Stern.
Well, Howard Stern says that podcasts are for losers. And or podcast is a loser thing to do, or podcasts suck. And that his 5-year contract, he didn't say this, but it's done December 16th. So
he literally only has 2 more live shows that he has to fulfill for this contract.
Oh, so thank God.
Is he done?
Well, here's the thing. He still has an agreement with Sirius where his content is going to be played to the end of the year. So, but when they will resolve a contract is still a big question, because they always want to haggle with him a little bit, you know?
So what's your thought?
I think that he'll work something out.
Of course he will. He's done this, by the way. Robbie and I have listened to him since we were children. I remember him going on Charlie Rose in 1980. Do you remember that, Robbie?
I do.
And we watched it. And I remember him going, this is the 80s, man. He said, this is the 80s, man. It's now 2015. And I remember that. And we've been listening to him. So now, you know, that's been 35 years we've been listening to this guy. Over that period of time, Robbie, how many times has he threatened to stop doing radio?
A dozen.
Yeah, he's never, it's played out. But of course, people tend to, they start believing it and believing it. It's almost like the hype of a fight. And then it ends up being, Rousey, not the girl she fought this time, but the one before, mm-hmm. You know, where 14 seconds later it's over. You start believing the hype.
Or the fight Saturday night when.
Yeah, but that one, no one was expecting seconds. That. The guy they fought hadn't lost in 10 years.
You know, I bet I've listened to Howard Stern less than 10 times in my entire life.
I'll tell you what, Rob, honestly, he's great.
That I don't like him. I just, you know, I get up early and I don't have satellite radio.
Yeah, I mean, some of the stuff, it doesn't work for me. But I'll tell you what, when he has a celebrity on there, he's the best in the world at interviewing. And I think, first of all, he prepares. And that's one of the things, like, for example, when I go on 98 Rock and all of a sudden, you know, we got, you know, whoever coming on, you know, we look at their Wikipedia and that's mm-hmm. it. You know, Stern has a team of people and they fill him with, you know, information and interesting, you know, facts and so forth. Like, he just had Don Henley on. Do you know that the guitarist for the Heartbreakers, what's his name? Campbell, Robbie, what's his first name?
Yeah, I just was talking about him today. I can't.
Anyway, he wrote the music for Boys of Summer, brought it to Tom Petty. Tom Petty said, nah, I don't like it. So he brought to Don Henley and created this iconic song, wow. Right? Yeah. I mean, these great stories. And he just sits there and talks to him. And for some reason, probably because they almost get lost in the idea that they're speaking to an audience of millions. And they kind of get lost in this conversation. He makes people put their guard down and reveal things that people don't reveal anywhere else.
Well, radio is the best medium for that.
Yeah, because you don't see your audience, and it's also can be a very natural setting. But he's the best in the world at that.
He exploits it to its fullest.
He's so good at it. And just now, I've only had Sirius for a little while because I got it when I bought my new car. They're going to take it away from me soon, and then I'll go back to the actual medium that I'm on, terrestrial radio. But one thing that I've noticed, and they have phony phone calls and all these other things that are funny. But the interviews are really what I look forward to, because he gets these great artists to come in there and open up, and then he gets them to perform. I mean, some people that haven't performed in this way in years, they'll come on the Howard Stern show and they'll do three or four songs, you know, for him. And I don't know how he does it. I guess if I did, I'd go and try to do the same thing. But nobody can. And obviously, the most important thing that he has is he's as famous as whoever he's talking to. But that hasn't always been the case.
Peer.
And that, right, that helps him now, because there's a very, very small percentage of the time that he's talking to somebody more famous than him.
But what's his deal with podcasts? I mean, is he afraid that radio is old, it's on the way out, and so he's just is defensive about it?
He says
podcasts are for losers. That's the quote.
His comments are over the top, but I've gone on record to say that I agree with him about podcasts, because it's not like us, okay? Everybody here has broadcast radio experience in some form or another, okay? He's talking about people like Chris Restivo. Okay? He's not talking about Adam Carolla. He's talking about 99% of the people out there who put a microphone in their basement and are recording into it.
And I heard him talking to Adam Carolla and saying the exact same thing that Robbie's saying. He doesn't hate podcasts that have merit and, you know, and an audience. That's not what he's talking about.
I get that, but I mean, couldn't you say the same about some of the awful radio DJs that are out there?
Yeah. Sure, he probably hates them too, though.
Yes.
But he doesn't say radio is for losers.
He's been had harsh words to say about terrestrial radio also.
Yeah, he's not on it anymore. So that, and one of the, as a matter of fact, he probably would say that. He probably would say that's a dying medium. I would guess that he would.
Well, yeah, it doesn't bother me. I don't care that he says that, but I feel like that you don't hear a bad podcast because you wouldn't listen to it, but you can drive to work and there'll be six awful things on terrestrial radio.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying, but the difference is that podcasts are so easy to avoid because you have to go out and seek out a podcast.
Yeah,
well, radio sort of isn't as easy to avoid.
It's gonna bother me. It doesn't bother me if there's a shitty podcast, but it bothers me that someone's getting paid to do some horrible radio morning show.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean that, the problem is that he'd probably have a problem with this too. But you're right. I mean, I don't really hear that a whole lot on the radio around here because I don't. I mean, honestly, I don't do a whole lot of flipping around. I'm on a station here, and so that's clearly the station I keep on in my car when I listen to terrestrial radio, unless I'm listening to sports. But you're right. Like when I'm in Ocean City and I hear the radio personalities on there, and obviously they're tiny markets, and I'm like, God, this is absolute crap.
Right.
And it never occurs to me. I mean, you can't find anybody that can just not embarrass themselves just because there aren't as many listeners. I never understood that. But yeah, you're right. It does bother me when people get paid to do radio poorly. But also, what are they getting paid? You know what I mean? They might just be guys who are making, they can be making $25 a shift.
Well, it's all going to be a computer eventually. There probably won't be there'll either be someone you pay a lot and it has talent, or there'll be nothing.
Yeah.
Let me know, live person. Hey, shout out to Tawanda. Big, big day for her tomorrow, the 15th. She closes on her house in beautiful Columbia, Maryland. She will officially be a homeowner. She's been dreaming of this ever since probably she became an adult, to be honest. So
she treated it too the way that you need to treat it, not the way that I would treat it.
How so?
Well, meaning when I decide to go buy a house, I'm going to have a house picked out and a contract on it within a week. I can't. I've never bought anything that cost over, I've never bought anything. Because when I decide I'm going to buy a car, I buy a car that day. When I decide to buy a giant television, I buy it that day. When I decide to buy a house, maybe not that day, but, but these decisions are important. They're investments. It's not like a TV. It's not like a car. But when eventually in the middle of next year, when I go to buy my house, my second house, sorry, I already own a house. My second house, that decision will be made rather quickly.
Well, it's the market dictates that. I mean, I guess if you insist on buying something, but if you're picky at all, you can't just go out there and buy a house. I'm going to get a house this month. It's not going to be that easy, Joe.
Yeah, well, the only reason that it isn't going to happen quickly is because, Katie's going to have something to say about the house. And because she is, then that's the reason that it wouldn't happen quickly. By the way, that's a good thing, right? If it was up to me, they'd show me one house, I'd buy it, and we'd be done.
I mean, we went over to our, like I said, friend Jen and Barry's house the other day, and they had an awesome house.
Oh, my God.
It was beautiful. The yard is incredible and super jealous. And they were talking about, and Barry was talking about all that he's done this and he's done this work. And I'm like, I don't know how to do any of that shit. Like, what am I going to bring to the table? I mean, there's painting, shit like that anyone can do, but I can't, like, fix anything. I can do grunt work, rake leaves, mow lawn. But I can't.
Can you rake leaves?
I mean, what's to it? You rake leaves, put it in a bag. I don't know. How can I not do that?
I don't know, man. Robbie and I, we grew up raking leaves. We had 40 oak trees in our yard. And my father, I was 6 and Robbie was 8 when we began raking leaves. 7 and 9, sorry, when we began raking leaves without his assistance. He didn't help. He would sit inside while his...
Are you offering your services because you're an experienced?
No, that's what I said. When I decided to buy a house, and then I decided to buy my next house. And when I buy the house after that, I won't rake. That's one thing. I will not rake because of what happened to me as a kid. I mean, I used to rake. My father would be like, "Do you have to do the leaves?" And I do. I mean, it would take me all Friday and all Saturday and all That's Sunday. Sort of. Like, I would be raking all weekend.
Well, they have, like, machines you can buy that can do that.
I'm you know what's sure. funny? He said it because when I was a kid, I swear, I would invent a leaf blower didn't exist. Mulcher didn't exist. Hey, but I invented these things in my head. I'm not kidding. I thought, you know, if I just had a high-powered blower and if I had this, and if I had just trademarked those things even as a kid, I might be a millionaire right now. Because I had thought of every single one of those inventions. How can I possibly make this easier?
Why don't you just invent it, Joe? You thought of it. It was there. Do it.
Well, I should have been. You don't have any, you know, issue with Gramps. He never even went outside.
No, it's what I would do if I had a kid.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, I would.
If you had a kid,
do it.
You would say, go out and you just sit in your house and watch a Gronsky and Company. That's what you do.
I mean, I wouldn't watch that.
That's what my father. That's another thing. You know, back when I was that age, we only had one TV, and my father would make us watch a Gronsky and Company. Agreed, Robbie?
Make us. We could have left the room.
I had to leave the room.
Hey, dude. Well, but how have you managed? Because you don't know how to do anything either. You're not fixing stuff around the house. Wasn't it emasculating for you?
To do what? What do you mean? It wasn't emasculating. I was the one raking. It's
no,
the opposite.
I'm talking about it as an adult when you owned a house with your wife. You didn't know how to do anything. You weren't.
Yeah, but we didn't. We purposely bought a house that didn't have trees where raking would be required.
No, there's more things than raking. There's.
Well, no, I don't. It's raking is the thing. I don't mind mowing the lawn, which I did. Pooper scoop when the dog's not, fine. I didn't mind doing those things. You need to weed, fine. Mulch, I'll do it. Trim the hedge, fine. But the raking, that's where the line was drawn. I was never going to rake again.
I'll never rake
never again.
That's the episode.
Some sort of
that's the episode title.
Catastrophe that happened again. In history. And they're like, never again. That was me with raking.
No, I take it even farther than Joe. I literally won't do any yard work whatsoever.
All right. How much money would I have to pay you guys for you to be... That's your business. You.
Oh, my business?
Yeah.
I'd have to make $200,000 a year for my business to be yard work.
And but you're not paying someone to do that. You're doing the yard work yourself.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, if somebody said you can start a company where you go around and rake people's yards, and I'll give you $200,000 a year, I'd say no.
So, your job for 8 hours a day is you're raking yards, and you have to do it for 10 years. $200,000 a year now?
No, I wouldn't do it.
$300,000. Come on.
I mean, you'd be surprised. I probably would do it for $300,000 a year. Do I get full benefits?
Yeah.
And I get I got a 401k.
Yeah.
Do we have profit sharing?
Nope.
But no, of course I do it for $300,000.
Hey, I'm going to Turkey for New Year's Eve, which is not a place I think you want to go. I said to you, Joe, and you're like, why? What's going on? So you don't watch the news. But I will be at Incirlik Air Base. I've been there before. It's in Adana, Turkey. I'll be performing there New Year's Eve. And I've done a lot of shows overseas and in a lot in dangerous places, Afghanistan, for example. But I've never gotten this email, the one I just got from the booker. He needs a copy of my insurance card.
Like life insurance?
A health insurance, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that seems scary.
Mm-hmm. For what?
Well, I don't know. I've never been asked that before.
In case something happens to you.
Yeah. Rob,
are you taking commercial or do they fly you military?
Commercial.
What airlines are you going to fly?
I don't have the flight.
Turkey Airlines?
Yeah, there's a Turkish airline, so my girlfriend won't fly it.
Really? She won't fly the airline that Rob's probably flying?
That's what I'm saying.
Why? Why won't she fly it?
Because they're targets for terrorism.
Man. Hey, if Rob dies during this thing, will we stop doing the show or will we get a replacement?
Are you asking me my opinion?
Yeah. What would you do?
It's a replacement.
What's that?
We'll find a replacement.
Oh, thanks a lot.
No, I would definitely not keep doing the show.
Would you find another Rob, or would you?
I take offense to that.
So I have to keep doing the show if Rob dies because you guys want to?
Yeah.
Why are you offended?
Would Eric the actor come out of the shadows and be on the show?
No, he wouldn't do that.
No.
What about Chris Restivo?
I wouldn't do it with him.
The Restivo and Joe show?
Oh, God.
Eric the actor taking another shot at you says, God, will Rob now have more, quote, war stories? You aren't even allowed to tell a story about what happened. The last time you went, there was like an attack. There was actually, I guess, what was it, explosions near the base. You're not allowed to talk about that.
Yeah,
like you're Brian Williams all of a sudden.
Yeah. War stories. He's such an asshole for saying that. Like, who wouldn't tell that story? What kind of person goes overseas, you get there, they say, hey, we're probably going to get attacked. You have to wear this vest at all times. And then the siren goes off. Everyone hits the deck, even people with automatic weapons. And then, I mean, nothing happens. But I'm not supposed to tell that story. The show's interrupted. Why would you not tell that story? You realize if I just do a show at Coco Lane and someone stands up and yells, I tell that story because the show was interrupted. But I'm not supposed to tell when we get attacked. A war story.
Eric the actor, I'm sorry, Gramps said, bring Simbazo back, meaning Gramps doesn't care. If you die, he also still wants the show to go on.
Simbazo and Joe show, Joe and Tommy show, Tommy and Joe show.
To Tom and Joe show, right? Rob, right off your tongue.
Tom and Joe show. Well, you know what? If I'm dead, what do I care? But I will say this. If I do die, my CD sales will go through the roof. My download cards will be killing it, Eric.
Those T-shirts will be flying off the shelves.
Hey, but if I do die there, don't fucking tell that story. Eric, the editor will get pissed. I die? Big fucking deal, man. A million people die a day. War stories. I told that story, by the way, 3 times in 3 years. But okay. Speaking of Tommy, we're going to call him next week for his review of Star Wars. It's coming out this week. I don't really care.
I'm not going to see it opening week, are you? I know, Marcus, you are, right?
Yeah, I'm going Thursday, 7 o'clock, first showing.
Get your review as well. You bought tickets, I assume, already?
Yeah, about a month ago.
By the way, real quick, Scott Apple, who's a big Star Wars fan, I go, maybe a month ago, I go, you better get your Star Wars tickets. He goes, why? I go, dude, it's going to be sold. He goes, no, it's not.
Oh, God.
Then when he bought his tickets, he goes, look at this. I got these tickets, no problem. And this was like 2 weeks ago. Like, he's literally acting like nobody's going to go see this thing. I said, Scott, it's going to have the biggest. He won't admit it's going to be a crowded theater. What a dick. He won't admit that the theater is going to be crowded for the opening week of Star Wars.
It's going to be crowded for 3 weeks.
Yeah. If I try to go see it right the third week, I still probably have to wait in line.
Will you see it this year?
I don't know. It depends on what my kids want to do. By the way, you know, we have the murder mystery, you know, the next 2 weekends. So, I don't have my kids this weekend. I have them the following weekend. I'm not sure yet. I guess if I can get in and easily, then yes. But, you know, I mean, when I go with 4, and, you know, I don't feel like fighting for a seat.
Well, let's end the show with this. You, Joe, claim to be an expert and being able to look at a trailer for a movie and telling whether it's going to be good or not. Star Wars on a 1 to 10 scale, 10 being the best. How good is this movie
going to be? It's a 7.
Oh. Will that appease people or not?
Oh, yeah, yeah. A seven or an 8 is a good film. I'll give you an example. This guy, the director, J.J. Abrams, he knows how to take this genre and make it successful. He knows how to. He's done a great job with the Star Trek films. 1 year on Rotten Tomatoes, the Star Trek, the original, the first Star Trek movie he did was like the highest rated movie of the year. Now,
yeah.
Here's why. Because they're not reviewing it 1 out of 10. They're not giving it a 10 out of 10. They're saying, was it positively reviewed? So I think in this case it was like 95% of critics positively reviewed it. That doesn't mean it's a 9.5 out of 10.
Yeah, it's not.
It means that's the percentage that positively reviewed it. It's probably a really solid film, which it was. I saw it and I liked it. I think Star Wars, I think 90 might in the 90s might be a little too high. But I think it'll be positively reviewed. I think that there's this, I don't know if stigma is the right thing, but there's this, it's going to be hyper-analyzed. And because of that, some people are going to like it regardless. Some people are going to hate it regardless.
So your Rotten Tomatoes percentage is what?
Oh, Rotten Tomatoes. Okay, yeah. So there's two different questions.
Yes.
Out of 10, I give it a 7 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes, I'll say it's 82.
I say it's higher.
I say it's 79%. Rob, okay, 82 for Joe. I say 79. Robbie, your number?
I'm saying it's like 85.
Marcus?
95.
Wow.
No, he won't get a 95. I mean, that's reserved for the best film of the year.
You want it so bad to be great.
I could break it down for you. It comes down to J.J. Abrams, who we've already acknowledged knows this genre, has already done well with it, and the fact that Lucas had nothing to do with the scripting of this movie. So he was out of the way. I already told you once before, I was working in the industry as a licensee of Lucasfilm, and when we went to go see 1, 2, and 3, we thought our lives were going to come crashing down, and they did because we couldn't sell the product we were pushing. So I know how bad it can be, but because JJ's behind this, I have, and what I've seen in the trailers and commercials, it looks great. Now, let me say this. If you want to analyze how good this is going to be from a trailer perspective, check out the trailers that were put out in Canada, because they use different clips, they use different voiceovers, and I think it really showcases what's going to happen in this movie, and it looks fantastic.
Well, yeah, we're going to call Tommy next
95
week.
Is a reserve for literally those films that are nominated for Best Picture, you know, the most elite films. It won't be a 95. It won't.
I think The Revenant and Hateful Eight will be higher.
Yeah, it would be surprised me if Hateful Eight wasn't higher.
All right. Play the music, Robbie.
Play the horrible music.
That's what we'll vote on. That's the show. Murder Mystery, Saturday the 19th. Go to our Facebook, Die Laughing Productions. More information. The Boomy Temple. It's this huge, beautiful little hall. It's
yeah, you only
nice.
Have two chances to see the holiday one, and then it won't come back until next year.
Yep.
So it's the 19th at the Boomy Temple in Rosedale and the 26th at Magoobie's Joke House. Either one, they're two completely different. The Boomy Temple, it's more expensive, but you get all you can eat and all you can drink, beer and wine, correct, yes. Rob?
It's only $40. It's a good deal.
Yeah, yeah, and then Magoobie's, what is it, $20?
$18.
$18 at Magoobie's, but of course, then you buy your food and drink.
Sure, two-item minimum, but it'll be worth every penny. Good luck, Star Wars fans. I want the movie to be good. I hope I'm wrong. I'm hoping it's great, not just passable. That's the show. See you guys.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.